Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 8th of July. I'm your host, Paul White, and we are journeying through 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 1. Today we will close verse number 3. Let's read the whole verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Dealt with the merciful God yesterday. Today we deal with the last half of the verse, who has begotten us again, birthed us again. This is a new birth. Peter's first reference to a born-again experience or a new creation experience through resurrection. Listen, begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I see a lot of my brothers in deep into the discussion, brothers and sisters, deep into the discussion about resurrection, where this happens, how this happens, what this looks like. I've seen some pretty vehement arguments on both sides of the aisle and pretty angry people about what it says about you if you believe this versus what it says about you if you believe that. Well, I don't think it says one thing or the other about you. I'm afraid that sometimes we just argue too much about things we can't prove, and we don't live out things that are present possessions. Peter doesn't talk about resurrection in this verse in terms of whether or not you should be waiting around for it, but he does talk about resurrection as something you can live, not something you can wait on. I'm not here to argue whether or not you can wait on it. That's not the point of the verse. He birthed us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The fact that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and this was universally agreed upon by all of the epistle writers of the New Testament. Not one person got their book into the canon that did not believe in a resurrected Jesus. And that sets as sort of the barrier, or the code, the fencing, if you would, for what it meant to be a new creation or a Christian in the framework of the New Testament. You had to believe in a risen Savior. You couldn't just believe that Jesus had died. Everybody believed Jesus had died. The Romans were there and watched him die. Believing in his death doesn't make you a believer. Believing in his resurrection makes you a believer. You didn't need faith in that hour to believe Jesus had died. What you needed faith for was to believe Jesus had raised. Because if Jesus had raised from the dead, then God had birthed a new man in the earth. Peter's comment is that according to mercy, he birthed us to a living hope by raising Jesus. You see, Jesus was the one raised, but we were the one birthed through a living hope that is the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is alive. What hope we walk in, we do it while living, not while dying. So I think I respect the arguments, and I'm not saying that it's not worth going down those roads about the validity of physical resurrection and when and where and how and why. I'm not saying it's not worth the discussion. For me, my focus is less on the things I cannot prove and more on the things I know are real and people are living in. I'll give you an example. I've answered lots of questions in private and in Q&As lately about hell. People want to know my stance. Is it a place that sinners go and are tormented forever? Do you believe that it's even real? Do you believe it's a construct of the church? Do you believe that when people die, they go there? I don't know the answer to all of those questions. I mean, I know what I believe. I don't know that I can prove what I even believe with an abundance of scripture. I'm more likely to use an abundance of caution. But what I know for sure is that hell is real in people's day-to-day lives. They live it. They experience it. They walk into it and they don't know how to get out of it. They make decisions that incite its flames in their children and their marriage and their money and their minds. They walk into the chaos that hell affords, and they do so sometimes with eyes wide open. And that to me seems foolish and unacceptable. While we sit around arguing over the usage of the Greek, whether or not hell is real, someone on your street is going through plenty of it. And I don't think we take it serious enough when we make statements like, hell is fake. Tell that to the guy with a needle hanging out of his arm who's lost everything. Tell him that there is no hell. He's in the middle of it. And we can go, oh yeah, I know metaphorically there's a hell. No, I think that may literally be hell. I think they may literally be going through absolute torture and torment. Maybe they come out the other side a better person. Oftentimes they don't come out the other side at all. Do I believe in eternal conscience torment? I don't know how I feel so much about that on the other side of the grave, but you better believe I believe in it on this side of the grave. I know people who are eternally, consciously being tormented. And it's not a God that's out to get them. It's decisions and life and a serpent in their garden and a dragon in their closet that continues to pull them down. So short of arguing about what, you know, the realities of resurrection, let's argue what we do know. Jesus, or what we do believe, Jesus raised from the dead and birthed a new man in the earth. You and I have a living hope because Jesus isn't dead, Jesus is alive. Now, if I lose you there and you say, well, I don't know if I can even believe that, then in my estimation, you're not a believer. You may go to a church. You may own a few Bibles. You might have a degree behind your name that's theological. But if you can't believe in a resurrected Savior, you don't have a living hope. You have a dead carpenter, 2,000 years gone, who might have had a good set of principles, but doesn't have anything worth living and dying for now. And that's up to you. You have to decide if that's what you believe. I think it's what Peter believed. And I think he's about to take us on an adventure. And we'll start with him tomorrow with the inheritance and the incorruptible and the undefiled that does not fade away. What a statement from verse 4. We'll see you then. God bless.